Certainly, Philippi did not seem like a good opportunity to establish a new mission. As it says, they walked through the city for several days, that the city was full of false gods and temples that demanded the people's money and were rich and wealthy. We see the darkness of Philippi as the people found demon-possessed people and they used them for fortune-telling. They would have said, how could we ever start up a new church there? And when we begin to draw back and say in fear, well, there's just not enough money, it's impossible. And so don't give the effort or support the ministry. Aren't we then writing off mission and the task our Lord has given us to reach those in darkness and to share the good news? What's the bottom line? For Paul, the bottom line wasn't, is this going to be a sustainable ministry? No, the bottom line was, the Lord has sent me, and the Lord will provide, and the Lord will continue to spread his gospel.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country, April 29th, 2018. This message is based on Acts 16:11-15.
The entrepreneur Elon Musk knows how to start a business, doesn't he? He started the company PayPal and then sold that for a multi-million dollar deal, and then right away turned around and invested and started up a rocket science company, SpaceX, which is so high risk and so technical, it deals with contracts with NASA. And then he also joined a venture to start up an American-based mass-producing motor company, Tesla. Of course, he soon found out that starting a brand new American-based motor company is not rocket science, a little bit harder. The investment that he made turned out to be much greater than initially thought. The production line ran into some problems, so he had to deal with customers that were complaining about lately delivered cars. And then the price line started to go up on some of the vehicles, and then he realized that in order to produce more, they needed to invest more. And soon enough, it took more than a personal fortune to get that company going. It took over $500 million of investments and loans to just get the company rolling and getting it off the ground. Sometimes it can take a lot to get something new started up. Well, this morning in Acts chapter 16, we're looking at the start of something new. It's the beginning of the gospel going out into the ends of the earth. And it's being established outside of the normal bounds it's been found in. So how does the gospel continue to advance and to grow and become established? Well, what we find is it's not exactly what we'd expect for the bottom line. The good news advances as Jesus moves you to support it. See, the Apostle Paul has now finished his first missionary journey, and the gospel has spread for about 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus. Paul has traveled throughout the lands of Israel into what is now modern-day Turkey and Lebanon and even to the island of Cyprus. And the gospel has spread. But now Paul, along with his companions joining with him now, Luke and Silas and Timothy, these four men are headed out towards Asia in the northern part of Turkey. But the Holy Spirit is going to point them in an altogether new direction. And for the first time, they're going to step into what is now modern-day Greece, ancient Macedonia. Places they have never full-time done ministry or taken the gospel to spread. The start of something new. So what is the bottom line when it comes to spreading the gospel? When one thinks about how we start up new churches or how mission fields become established in the Christian church, certainly there are Christian principles for establishing and running a Christian church. But there's no step-by-step guidebook that explains, no how-to manual on how to start a new mission church. But what is the bottom line? Well, isn't it what we might think it would be? Wouldn't it be the thing that's there at every single mission planning meeting? What's there at every established congregational meeting? What comes up with every discussion for every venture that every Christian church tries to do, isn't it finances? Isn't that the bottom line? After all, when finances seem good, isn't it then that we're willing to say, we could do it, we could begin that ministry? And when finances are maybe uncertain, we might say, possible, we should try it maybe. Or if finances are unknown, isn't that when we start to say, can't be done? No, we shouldn't even try that. Is that the bottom line? Finances. Well, don't get me wrong. Certainly, it's a hard thing for the church leaders, the mission planners that have to deal with those decisions. A couple years back in our church body, some of the leaders in our synod had to pull back missionaries from the world mission fields. That's a hard decision when you have to say there's not enough funding for the gospel to advance. Or church leaders that simply have to say, this program can't continue, or this mission effort cannot be pursued, because they see the financial picture and they think and say, can't be done. What about when Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke look at the situation that they're called to serve now in Philippi? As the Holy Spirit directs them into Macedonia, they head to that prominent city, Philippi. And you know what? By all human standards, I think Philippi would have been considered anything but a ripe mission field. You see, Philippi, it was a Roman colony. The people that lived there were citizens of Rome, proud citizens of Rome. And as we actually see, anti-Semitic citizens of Rome who looked down on the Jewish people. And there's Paul and his companions with the new message. And the city of Philippi, with the retired army officers and retired politicians living there, would probably have, for the most part, spoken Latin, with Greek being their second language, Paul traveling and speaking Greek. And as Paul approached the city of Philippi, he no doubt recognized and saw, as it says, they walked through the city for several days, that the city was full of hedonists. Paul would later write in his letter to the Philippians about the citizens of Philippi having their mind set on earthly things and their God, their stomach. And the people chased after earthly pleasures. And we even see the occult worship and worship practices of false gods and temples that demanded the people's money and were rich and wealthy because of it. And we see the darkness of Philippi as the people found demon-possessed people and they used them for fortune-telling. Certainly, Philippi did not seem like a good opportunity to establish a new mission. And then add on top of that the fact that after several days of going through the city, Paul and Silas and his companions could not find 10 men, as it typically took, 10 men who would have started a Jewish synagogue in the city. This was not an ideal place, by all human standards, for them to start out a new mission, to start out what Jesus said would be the beginning of the ends of the earth. Well, if they were to write off this mission field, what would they have been writing off? See, for Paul and Silas, if they would have said, it's just not sustainable, it's not feasible, they would have said, how could we ever start up a new church there? They would have been writing off those people lost in darkness. And more than that, they would have not just been writing off those people who were worshiping their stomach and the occult and were lost. They would have been writing off their Lord who had sent them and said to them, you will be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem and yes, Samaria, but then to the ends of the earth. They would not take that first step into the ends of the earth. They would have been writing off their Lord who sent them and the Holy Spirit who directed them and the church of God who had called them and sent them to carry the gospel. When you and I begin to look at mission efforts and the bottom line becomes simply finances, aren't we writing off those who are lost in darkness? And when we begin to draw back and say in fear, well, there's just not enough money, it's impossible, and so don't give the effort or support the ministry, aren't we then writing off the mission and the task our Lord has given us to reach those in darkness and to share the good news. But you see, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they weren't operating by human standards. They weren't going to Philippi in order to fill the coffers at the church in Antioch that sent them. They weren't going because they were interested in starting a self-sustaining ministry. They were interested in carrying out what the Holy Spirit had sent them to do. They were interested in reaching with an opportunity that they had, those who were in darkness. And so Paul, Silas, and Timothy look around, and for failure of finding, as they usually would, a place of worship, a Jewish synagogue, they look around and they find what appears to be a place of prayer outside the city. And so they gather there. No Jewish men are found, but they do find worshippers of the Lord, some women who have gathered by the river. And there we see Paul speaks the message, the gospel to them. And there, amidst the surrounding area of Philippi, this godless city, where it seemed impossible, it says, the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, one of the listeners there, to believe the message. And so the good news advanced as Paul, despite what appeared to be impossible, despite not having any support, despite not even having any chance, it would seem, shared the gospel. And the Lord worked a miracle, faith in the heart of one of those believers who was looking forward to the Messiah and who now believed in the good news of Jesus. But more than that, we see that God worked another miracle. Lydia, who came to faith now, came to desire the spread of this message. For she heard that message which Paul would later write to the Philippians, that compelling message of Jesus, as Paul would write and say to the Philippian congregations, Christ Jesus, who in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, became obedient, even to death on a cross. Paul would speak to that crowd, that bunch of women gathered by the river, and explain, Jesus died on the cross for you, for your sins. And the Lord opened the heart of those who listened. And more than that, he would continue to explain as he writes to the Philippians, and the same Jesus who was given over to death and gave himself up was made alive again, and God lifted him up and exalted him to the highest place. This Jesus is alive, and he has sent me to proclaim good news to you. And so the miracle of the gospel worked as it continued to spread through the believers at Philippi. You see, Lydia then had another miracle working in her heart. Not only did the Lord open her heart to believe, as Paul said later to that person in Philippi, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The Lord also opened her heart, as it literally says, to believe and then to freely support the gospel. Notice what she says, that she says, if you consider me a believer, stay at my place. Paul almost, and Luke who records this, almost seems to imply that they weren't looking for support, but Lydia, who freely received the gospel, who freely heard of forgiveness, freely now offered her home and her support of this message. So the gospel spread. The gospel which came to Philippi now was going to spread from Philippi. See, not only did Lydia believe, but many others. Paul would write later in Philippians chapter 4 regarding the Philippians, how the message of the gospel took root in Philippi. He writes, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, that's the next city he went to, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. So the gospel continued to spread beyond Philippi, from Philippi, through the believers. And more than that, this was only the beginning for the Philippians. When Paul became a missionary that traveled throughout the rest of Greece, the Philippians continued to support him. They became a mission-minded church that didn't say, it's impossible to spread the gospel beyond us. They said, there's opportunity to spread the gospel. Paul writes regarding the Philippians, I thank my God every time I remember you, in all my prayers for all of you, I also pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And Paul writes that years later, 10 years later, as he's in prison. And even then, they don't give up, even as Paul's in prison. And he writes, I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, Philippians. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So it is today. The good news of Jesus advances as the gospel is shared. And as the Lord opens hearts to believe that message, the Lord opens hearts to then share and support that message and support those who share that message. We see it as those who serve in the church today in mission fields carry the gospel to different places, not because it makes financial sense, but because those who love the gospel want to share that message. This happened as we're celebrating this year, 125 years ago in Arizona. Some people came, even though they did not have much money, even though the people they came to, the Apache Indians on the reservation, didn't have much money, they came. And the gospel spread. And from that time continued to grow and spread still to this day. The good news advances as missionaries still today around the world receive support from fellow believers. And the Lord opens the hearts of people in Indonesia, in China, in Japan, in parts of different cities of the United States. In Payson, the gospel continues to advance as through his people, the Lord shares the gospel. And through the Lord who opened hearts, they then open their lives and support that message and it spread. See, what's the bottom line? For Paul, the bottom line wasn't, is this going to be a sustainable ministry? No, the bottom line was, the Lord has sent me. And the Lord will provide. And the Lord will continue to spread his gospel. And it's not based off of human reason. It is based off of the love of Christ. And the good news advances as Jesus moves you to support it. Amen.